I begin in gratitude for the original peoples of this place, whose hospitality and caregiving for the land was exploited for colonial gain. And I begin in gratitude for a conversation this week with the Reverend Lee Kern, the reconciliation animator of the diocese, and I found my thoughts enriched by that conversation with her. And I begin in gratitude for the leadership of Sandra Campbell, who really helped us to begin in a very good way this morning. Thank you for your leadership, Sandra, and thank you for the welcome of this community. I speak today on National Indigenous Peoples Day of Prayer, not for anyone, and certainly not for Indigenous peoples, but for myself as a white settler whose earliest ancestors came to Turtle Island in the early 1600s. And as an Anglican, and as the executive director of Kairos. I speak about colonization and racism against Indigenous people, what we now know as genocide, which is not an Indigenous question, but my issue, our reality, the responsibility of the church and of the whole of Canada. I speak about the requirement of justice as a prayer. I can still remember the day perched on a windowsill in Ottawa in an overflow room when the commissioners of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission released 94 calls to action. That was 5 years ago. Each of them speaking through deep emotions, words that were a cry. A cry out of the testimonies of residential school survivors, a cry from their own hearts as listeners and leaders, a cry to the churches who ran the schools, to all of Canada, to all of the globe. Hear the word. Hear this time and act. My own tears flowed through this cry, because in one of the deepest privileges of my life, I was an ecumenical witness at 6 of the 7 national events of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And it was a process that unsettled me right at the core, rattling false assumptions of ancestry and faith, convicting me with my privilege and complicities, raising questions as gut-wrenching as these. How did we, who say we know what is sacred, conspire to break bonds, sacred bonds, perhaps the most sacred, between parents and children? Or how did we who say we believe in the dignity of each person made in the image of God replace names with numbers and bury children in unmarked graves without informing their families? These questions and so many more. I can't tell you about that day 5 years ago or about any of the national events without remembering the testimony of a sister of a young boy who died after a beating in one of the schools. Remember his name, she said. His name was Michael. Say his name, Michael. Hear the word. This time, hear and act. These words, said 5 years ago, were reinforced and expanded 1 year ago in the 231 calls to justice from the National Inquiry on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and 2S LGBTQIA persons. A cry to acknowledge, a cry to mourn, a cry to mourn and to organize to create a future of dignity and safety. Hear this word, this time here, and act. And today, we hear the word, we see the actual words on the street. Indigenous lives matter. In profound intersection with the clarion call, Black Lives Matter, calling out police brutality in its most lethal forms. Hear the word, this time hear and act. In my view, it's false to only look at this timeline, 5 years, and equivocate about progress. Because, my friends, there were pre-existing words to the TRC, and we must acknowledge them. The 1996 Royal Commission on Aboriginal Peoples was word to hear and to act, shelved. In 1923, Haudenosaunee Chief Desiké traveled to Geneva to speak to the League of Nations, defending the rights of his people to live on their land under their own laws and with their own faith. Word to hear and act. He was not allowed to speak. Silenced. In 1907, Peter Henderson Bryce, a white settler Presbyterian doctor, sounded the alarm on the public health negligence of residential schools, including one school in which 69% of those who attended had died, almost all from tuberculosis. Word, in a privileged package, to hear and to act. Fired. In the mid-1800s, Nanabe Wekwa, an Ojibwe spokesperson and advocate for land and for women's rights, eventually buried on the very lot that she had been unsuccessful in getting a deed, although she had tried her whole life. Word to hear and act. Denied, as were so many other matriarchs and chieftains who spoke for their people. And the treaties, Peace and Friendship, Covenant Chain, numbered contemporary, at least from the Indigenous side, agreements to share the land with dignity and kinship, word to hear and act, broken. Word. Throughout all of the history of Turtle Island, embodied in the pre-existing people of this place, not empty land, and calling for our friendship, our action, calling our humanity, our accountability, our justice. 5 years since the TRC, over 500 years of genocide. And my sense in this process of truth and justice and reconciliation, we have yet to accomplish truth. So much justice is outstanding before the possibility of reconciliation that is the Creator's promise. Our solidarity is required. Our persistence is required. And it's not easy, no straight lines. Many setbacks, mistakes, going forward and then back, the work of generations. Justice Sinclair says 7. We can make it the work of our lives. And sow seeds in our children and our grandchildren that it is the commitment of theirs. I want to turn to the Gospel of John. So much more than a Christmas poem. So much that could be said about this compelling text. But I'd like us to notice 3 things. That the Word was present in the very dream of creation. became, becomes flesh, embodied truth, and convicts us still with challenge and radical possibility. If we had understood these things, our very own theology, my friends, there could have been a very different story on this Turtle Island. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. First, the Word, this Logos, is in the beginning but has no beginning, present in the very first inclinations towards creation. And that Word is original as light, original as life. And what that means is that anywhere there is light and life, there is this eternal Word of God. Yes, Jesus. But the Word, perhaps Christ, there before the missionary Jesus came in the suitcase of Columbus. The Word, even before the Jesus event, the Word has been on Turtle Island since time immemorial. And that Word might be understood as the light that illuminated the powerful values and wisdom and teaching that were here, Word in the drum, in the ceremonies, in the traditions. If we had understood Word present in creation, then we would have looked for the pre-existing Word here in this place. We would have listened for the pre-existing Word about light and life and sharing and care for the most vulnerable and care for creation among diverse indigenous nations. But that listening was not our story. As time went on, my settler ancestors of blood and faith saw not Logos, the Word, but Satan. How could we have been so wrong? And how do we repent? And can we make that looking and listening for the pre-existing Word, including in creation now, our story? How do we truly hear so we might act? Second, the Word is embodied. The Word became flesh and lived among us, yes, in the particularity of Jesus of Nazareth, who was not an imperialistic shout drowning out other voices, but an enfleshed Micah 6:8, an enfleshed do justice, love kindness, walk humbly, one who came alongside marginalized communities, one whose mind was changed when an oppressed woman argued back, one who lost his life in costly solidarity. Word enfleshed in the particularity of the particular Jesus, creative, healing, redeeming, justice seeking. But also, my friends, Word enfleshed and embodied in every human fallen in the pursuit of justice and right relations, in every person risen in the work of healing and transformation, Word made flesh in the truth of residential school survivors, in the healings of grandmothers and aunties who are walking with our sisters, in the justice seeking of the families of Chantel Moore and Rodney Levi, in the diverse and youthful protesters on our streets. How do we find the Word healing, justice-seeking, redemptive Word that continues to be enfleshed in our time and come alongside, join our humble and repentant bodies, flesh with flesh, how do we truly feel so we might act? And finally, this word, pre-existent, embodied, is no throwaway line. It's no easy answer. It's big and it's hard and it changes everything. The Word was in the Word and the world came into being through them, yet the world did not know them. The Word came to be what was their own and their people did not accept them. This Word that we are so profoundly encouraged to receive, cosmic in its scale, this Word unsettles the privilege and the comfortable who may not accept it, pushes out boundaries of thinking, creates radical possibility. Today, to those of us who've worked away incrementally at change, at reforms, the word of this time, word like defund the police, actions of this time like pull down all the statues, even to established justice doers, it makes you catch your breath. And limiting defensive words like realistic, strategic, prudent, is this helpful, come in to dampen expectations. But the word that is life and light, it's world shaking and world changing. And if we want to receive it, our response needs to be move over uncomfortable, welcome unsettling and challenging, bring on transformative change. Hallelujah to more than we can ask or imagine. Our death-defying God, our risen word, is about radical transformation towards justice and equity for all peoples and this aching earth. And yes, we can, we must. How do we truly dream so we might act? Friends, I know your work and I sense your heart. And I speak to myself today as much as to you. You've taken important steps. My words are to encourage that you persist, that you come alongside, follow more than lead, that you lean into the big transformation that perhaps out of the crucible of pandemic experience can truly come. If we keep acting towards that impossible justice. If we're white and settler, let's keep examining minds and hearts for the systemic racism and colonized thinking that reinforces our privileges and turns us into oppressors. As church, let's keep taking the steps from local to national to global to confront the histories and present of colonization and the way in which it got intertwined with Christian mission. Let's dare redistribution, reparation, and reconfiguration as beloved community. As citizens, let's center the voices of Indigenous peoples and let's come alongside in responsive solidarity. Let's keep showing up in the slow and somewhat tedious work of advocating with the powers that be. Your 100th conversation with your Member of Parliament. Speaking out to call to account, to propose, to transform, to join our voices and actions in the movements of liberation. remember those calls to action. Remember those calls for justice. Those calls from the streets. Choose and act. Kairos brings together 10 churches and religious organizations. We strive to bring peoples together, indigenous, settler, and newcomer, in shared commitments to ecological justice and human rights, to acts of justice as of a prayer. And we're here to support and to extend and to animate and to celebrate justice action. And any quick trip to our Facebook or website, and you'll see quickly what we're doing on your behalf. For your support as an Anglican church in the community of the Anglican Church of Canada, we are so grateful. My friends, we are not alone. At the very center of our God is this idea of accompaniment. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. She was in the beginning with God. God themselves, God the Trinity, is about accompaniment, about relationship, about profound solidarity. If we rage at the injustices of the world, God is with us. If we sob at the pain of our lives and that of our neighbors, then God is with us. If we make mistakes in our gestures of justice, God is with us. If we are bold in our justice and it is not accepted, God is with us. If we honor our own experiences of oppression, if we come alongside oppressed peoples, if we put our hope in others' dreams, we are together at the heart of God, whose solidarity knows no bounds. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen.